We pray, Lord Jesus, this morning that we might have our hearts open and that the result of these past days might come to full fruition today. We pray, Lord Jesus, that the intentions that you have for our hearts and for this church might be realized. We pray, Lord, that the time will not have been spent in vain, but rather, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might accomplish in us His task, His very purpose. We pray, Lord, that today that you might sum it up, you might tie a knot in it, and Lord, that you might put it down deep in our hearts. Lord, that it might become a practical thing as we let the Spirit of God work this out in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I believe that this is the thing that we all feel this morning. We do believe. You know, the very name that we're called by indicates that we're believers. We're not unbelievers. We're believers. And we need to remember that. You know, so many times we forget that we're believers and we keep trying to muster up something called faith, and we have faith. If we didn't have faith, we wouldn't be where we are. I tell you, the only reason we're in the grace of God is because of our faith. And so we are believers. All we need to do is just to practice what we already have. We have faith. But it is true, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Because they're still in the corners of our hearts and hiding out, still has to be ferreted out, is this thing called unbelief. It's unreal how many times faith has been spoken on this week, and how many things the Lord has brought to our hearts and has made us aware of, how many times He's challenged and encouraged us, and yet there's still so much about faith in the Word of God that we could spend probably another year and never exhaust all there is about faith. And I don't apologize this morning for speaking on faith. I don't understand it. I wanted to speak about something else, but the Lord just wouldn't let me speak on anything but this. And I may be repetitious. I don't think that I will be, but if I am, will you just take that as a indication of the Lord, there's something you didn't get the first time around. Milton said the other day, and it's really true, I agree. When God says something twice, you better pay attention. I learned when I was a little boy, my daddy only said something twice. He would say it twice, but I tell you, if you didn't get it the second time, you were in trouble. The first time he said it, the second time he said it, and the third time, there wasn't any saying to it. And so when God says something twice, you better listen, because he may not say it again. Next time it may be action on his part, just like on my dad's part. And so if I do say something repetitious, you just take it as from the Lord. I believe this morning that the thing that the Lord has impressed upon me is that we need to understand what faith really is. Now, I don't intend to tell you this morning that I have all the answers, that I've arrived. I'm just like you. I'm on a journey. And I'd like to remind you of this before we start, too, that I don't think there's anybody in this book that God tells us about that ever arrived. Paul said he hadn't. He said not as all had arrived, but said, I press on. And I tell you, if Paul hadn't arrived, well, it behooves us to just keep pressing on too. Not ever come to the place where we think, well, man, I finally arrived. I finally made it. Moses didn't arrive. In fact, we'll see in the chapter 11 this morning of Hebrews that it leaves Moses short of the promised land. And the reason he didn't go in was because he didn't have enough faith, unbelief. And so none of these great men of God, even though they exercised great faith, none of them ever arrived and conquered this thing called unbelief. And so don't get discouraged because there's still unbelief in your heart. But what is faith? I mean, we've been encouraged and challenged and even threatened this week about having faith. I tell you, after hearing Billy's message, you know, about the fear of God, I looked at fear a little bit different. I tell you, the Bible does say that we're to fear God. And so I just wonder if we really know what we're supposed to have. I know that a lot of people don't really know what faith is. They know they ought to have it. They feel ashamed because they don't have it. But I'm not sure that they really understand what faith is. And again, I'm not in any way trying to indicate that I've got all the answers. But God has revealed something to me that has really been a blessing in my life, because He's given me something solid. Something that I can hold on to when it's dark. In the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, which is called the faith chapter, I'd like for you just to turn there with me, if you will, and let's just go over this 11th chapter of Hebrews. I believe that it has the answer to the question, what is faith? What is faith? A lot of times we miss the trees because all we see is a forest. But I believe that God is trying to show us something in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and He's pointing out individuals, and by that saying something to us in each case. Now, the first thing that it says is faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, this seems to be contradictory, doesn't it? It says that faith is substance. But now, we always look at just the opposite of that. We always say faith is something that's not substance. Faith is something that's ethereal, something that, you know, you can't get a hold of, something that's kind of, mushy, you know. You just really can't ever get a hold of it. But that's not what the Word of God says. It says faith is the substance. And then it goes on to say that it's also the evidence of things not seen. Now, most of us would say that faith is just something that we have that nobody can ever be sure of. You know, I've got faith, but you can't ever see it. You can't ever know it. You've got to have it for yourself. But it says here that faith is the evidence. Now, I just was thinking this morning as I was trying to decide on how I could share this thought with you. I was just thinking, I don't remember, and I don't know the law well enough to know for sure, but I don't remember ever seeing or hearing of a blind person that was on a jury. Now, I don't know whether there's any law that regulates that or not, but I know if I was a trial lawyer, I would not want a blind person sitting on the jury that I was going to try, a case that I was going to try. And you know why? Because he couldn't see the evidence. I would hate to present evidence to people that couldn't see it, and try to describe for them and tell them all about it and hope I'd get the right verdict from people that couldn't see what I was talking about. I'm just saying this morning, friends, that the faith that we have is evidence to those that have sight. The world doesn't see it. But I'll tell you, I see it. I see it in the lives of other people. I see it all the time. I see faith, and it's an evidence that I can see and behold. It's not something that's imaginary. It's not something that's just a figment of somebody's imagination, or it's not just something that somebody's trying to do. But beloved, faith is evidence, but only those who have sight. Now, if you're on a jury this morning and you're blind, then you're going to go away and saying, well, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. And you shouldn't expect to if you're blind. But I'll tell you, faith is solid. It is substance, and faith is evidence to those that have sight. Now, in the second verse, it says, by it the elders obtained a good report. Well, I'm going to just go through this kind of briefly, and I'm not going to expound on everything, but I just say this in passing. Those of you that are elders and desire to be elders, if you want to have a good report, here's a way to do it. By faith. The way you have a good report is by faith. It's not how much you say or how well you say it. It's not what you do or how well you do it. It's by faith that God's men have a good report. Well, it says also through faith we understand. Through faith we understand. Isn't that a marvelous thing? It's not through our understanding that we understand. It's not through our intellect that we understand. But it's through faith that we understand. Now, what is it we understand? Well, the writer here was saying that we understand how God made the world. He didn't say that we believe. Through faith we believe. Through faith we understand. Is there any doubt with you, Brother Jim, how God made this world? I understand. Now, again, if the jury that I'm presenting the evidence to is an unbelieving jury, a blind jury, they'll not see the evidence and they'll not be convinced. But I tell you, when I've got the people who can see that are sitting in the jury box and I present the evidence, they know. They understand. And I tell you, when the Word of God is presented to those who can see, then by faith, they know. We don't need to go away ever from a meeting where the Word of God is preached, wondering or doubting. We can know, we can understand, because it's by faith that we understand. Before I go any further, I want to point out something to you as we go along. This is the main thrust of what the Lord has given to me to share. Every single thing that's pointed out in the 11th chapter of Hebrews points directly to the Word of God. Their faith was not based upon hearsay. Their faith was not based upon their imagination. Their faith was not based upon their desires or what they thought or what they wanted, but their faith was based upon what God had said. How do we know how the world was made? Because God told us how He did. That's just as simple as it can be. How is it that we're going to have faith? It's simply by believing what God said. Now, I would submit to you this morning, and I want you to listen as we go through this book, that there is no way for you or me to exercise faith apart from the revealed Word of God. You cannot believe it unless God said it. You listen this morning as we go through and see if this does not back up what I just said. All right? It says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Now, some of you may say, well, I don't read anywhere where God told Abel what to offer. I don't either. But my friend, this morning, I'm as convinced as I can be that Abel didn't try it by trial and error method and on the first lick decided, found what God wanted to do. Abel didn't say, well, you know, I don't know what God wants as a sacrifice, but we're going to start out and let's see, I believe I'll try lamb. He didn't do it that way. God had revealed, I believe, by word. I know revealed by example, because when his father and mother had fallen in sin and had blown it, as Brother Willie said, God took animals and he slew those animals and he made a covering for their nakedness. There was no question. There was no way in the world for anyone to decide for himself what God wanted as a sacrifice, but God abundantly revealed what it was. And by faith, faith in what? Faith in what God had revealed, Abel offered the right sacrifice. Now, you know, that's the very beginning point in our Christian life. How many people have you talked with, if you've ever talked to anybody about the Lord Jesus, how many people have you ever talked with that came up with the right answer? I always start out by asking people, do you believe that you're going to die someday? Or do you believe in eternity or something like that? Oh, yeah. You believe that there's a heaven and a hell? Most of them say, oh, yeah. Well, how do you think that a man can go to heaven? I've never had anybody yet give me the right answer, but never had. Oh, they can't. Oh, I believe that if you keep the Ten Commandments, you're going to make it all right. I believe that if you're a good man and you treat your neighbors right, you're going to make it. And I believe this, and I believe this, and I believe this, and on. And you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever talked to anybody about the Lord, they've got all kinds of ideas and all kinds of suppositions, but none of them are right. And my friend, until you come to the Word of God, you'll never know how God intended for you by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to be cleansed. By faith, we accept the plan of salvation. By faith in what? By faith in what? By faith in what God has revealed in His Word. I tell you, my friend, this morning, it matters not what we think or how we feel. It matters only what God has said. It says very plainly that if you have not been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if that sacrifice has not been your sacrifice, then you're lost in sin and you're damned. The wrath of God, John said, abides upon it. Well, by faith, he offered the right sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated. Now again, you say, well, I don't read anywhere where God told Enoch he's going to be translated. And I can't find it either. But I just know in my heart this morning that as Enoch walked with God, God told him, said, Enoch, if you'll just walk with me, you're not going to die. He told us that, didn't he? That's what Jesus told Mary and Martha. He said he was the resurrection and the life. And if any man believed in him, he wouldn't die. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Isn't that marvelous? He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I believe that Enoch was just a picture of the church. I believe that all of those who live and remain until the Lord Jesus comes are not going to die. Now, he's told us that. He's told us that we can cheat death if we're still physically alive when he comes back again. Enoch just believed God. And it says by faith, he was translated that he should not see death. It just means simply that he just believed God for his word, for what he said, and he didn't see death. He was translated so that he didn't see death. But this wasn't just an idea that he had. He didn't just decide one day, well, you know, I don't want to die. I believe I just won't die. There's a lot of people that have tried that. Old De Leon, you know, he went to an awful lot of trouble to find that fountain of youth because he didn't want to die, but he did. There's been an awful lot of people that didn't want to die, but they all do. But Enoch didn't die because God told him he wouldn't die. And he believed God, and by faith he was translated. Then in 6th verse, this is just an insert that Paul put in. I don't know why he chose here to do it. But see, I want to just remind you something while we're talking about faith. Faith, he said, is the only thing that is an essential with God. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Faith is the only thing that is an essential with God. Oh, now there's a lot of things that we've heard about this week, and there's a lot of things that we've heard about as we've read Scripture and listened to sermons. But according to what Paul says right here, there's only one thing that's essential with God, and that's faith. He said, because without faith, you can't please Him. without faith. Now, I realize full well this morning that with faith comes a lot of other things. I mean, after faith, you know, there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this. But, my friend, this morning, you can have all the rest of those things and not have faith, and you haven't pleased God without faith. It never says anywhere without work. It never says anywhere without love. It never says anywhere without a number of other things. You could name all these other things, but nowhere that I found in Scripture does it say, without this, you can't please God. But without faith, you can't. I'll tell you, if it's that important, we ought to really try to understand what it is. Then he goes on and says, by faith, Noah prepared an ark. Well, again, I'd submit to you this morning that Noah didn't just think one day, well, you know, it had never rained. Never had. And you know, that our luck just can't go on forever. It's bound to rain someday. It's just bound to rain someday. I don't know when, but you know, I think I'll just get ready, and I think I'll build me a boat. Because when it rains, I don't want to be caught without a boat. And so he just started building a boat. You know why Noah built the boat? Because God told him, Noah, it's going to rain, and if you don't build a boat, you're going to drown just like everybody else. And Noah believed God. And because he believed God, it says by faith, he prepared an ark. But my friend, I'm trying to show you this morning that what he did was act upon the Word of God. Not upon his own feeling, not upon his own imagination, not upon his own intellect. He didn't have a thing in the world to go on except the Word of God. And it was contrary to everything around him. Now, you may not agree with me. I don't know whether you ever thought about it or not, but I don't believe it ever rained until this time. I don't believe it ever had. Now, here was a man that had never seen a raindrop in his life. It says that the water, that the way God watered the earth was by dew that came up. He'd never seen. And you know, it'd be an awful heavy dew to have a flood, wouldn't it, Brother Lindell? That would be an awful heavy dew. He'd never seen any rain fall from heaven. He had never had any occasion, I don't believe, to see a lake or an ocean or anything like that. He didn't know anything about sailing boats. And here he was out in the middle of the desert building the boat. And people laughed and scoffed and ridiculed. And I'm sure that in his own mind he thought, I'm a fool. I'm a slap-dab idiot. Here I am building a boat out here, and there's not a way in the world that boat's going to float. And everybody's mocking and laughing at me. And I've lost everything just because I believe God. And I believe he had those thoughts. He was human. I know that if you've served God, that you've had. I wonder, is this really what I ought to be doing? But you know, by faith he just kept. By faith he just kept building. By faith he just kept getting laughed at and scoffed at. And I tell you, one day that faith paid off, because it did rain one day. God said it would, and it did. And I tell you what, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle will in any wise pass until it's all been fulfilled. What God has said in this book is just as sure as if it happened yesterday. Just as sure as it. And we ought to order our lives according to the Word of God, just like Noah did. Well, he, because he believed what God said, built an ark. And then it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, he went out. Well, what did he go out for? Did he just get tired of where he lived? Did he decide there must be some better place? I don't think so. I think Abraham was probably well satisfied. I think that he probably had a good place in the community. I believe that Abraham went out only because God said, Abraham, go! And Abraham went! In accordance to the Word of God. By faith. By faith in what? Not in a feeling. Not faith in a desire. Not faith in a thing in the world, except God said to go! And so he went. Well, it goes on and says, he sojourned, he looked, and it also says he sacrificed. Now, in every one of those instances, he did what he did according to what God said. I'd like to submit to you that he also acted on some other basis. Once when the food got low, he decided to go to Egypt. He got in trouble. He got over there and he looked around and he realized that his wife was probably the prettiest woman in the whole country, and old Pharaoh was going to want her, and so he decided that maybe he better tell a lie. And he did. Abraham did some other things. He didn't always act on faith, but may I tell you this morning that he may have thought he was doing the right thing, but because it was not the Word of God, he got in trouble. There are a lot of people who say, I, by faith, am going to do this. I, by faith, am going to do this. I, by faith, am going to do this other. But my friend, if the faith is not in the Word of God, then it's not faith. Now you follow me. Don't leave me yet. It's not faith unless it's in the Word of God. You cannot have faith in something that God didn't say, because faith is believing God. That's all it is. So you can't say you have faith unless God said it. Now, you may want it ever so badly. You may desire it ever so badly. You may imagine that it's the most important thing in the world, but if God didn't say it, you can't have faith. Now, you didn't want it so bad you didn't taste it, but that's still not faith. And when you act outside of faith,
You just like Abraham are going to get in trouble. But I tell you, you can do the most ridiculous things in the world. You can even do things that look like they are exceedingly sinful and be right when you follow God's word. Can you imagine Abraham taking his son? By the way, his only son. The only way that God could keep his promise, he told him, he said, by this son, I'm going to bless the entire world. And Abraham taking that son and leading him out there to that mountain, tying him down on that altar and raising his knife up, ready to take his life. If you've not been there, we said, Abraham, you've lost your mind. You've lost your mind. You have just gone crazy because God would never tell you to do that. Now, sometimes as people look on, they may imagine we've lost our mind. But if we're acting upon the word of God, then my friend, we're wrong. But some of the things Abraham did look right to other people. If you and I have been there, Lindell, and Abraham said, you know, says, fellas, we better tell old Pharaoh that these are our sisters, not our wives. We'd have probably said, you're right. If we had voted, I'm sure the vote of at least two, I'd have voted that way. I don't know about Lindell. He might have been just bullheaded enough to say no. But I tell you, if I'd been there with Abraham, it would have seemed the right thing to do to said, yes, she's just my sister. But that was out of God's will because God didn't tell me. But he did tell him to take his son's life. And Abraham acted in obedience. He believed God. And so it says by faith. Then it goes on and says that by faith Sarah conceived. My, what a marvelous thing. Sarah conceived by faith. Now, how did she conceive? Now, I don't believe, I really don't, that this was the first opportunity he had to conceive. They'd been trying for years. If it was something physical, it would have happened a long time before this. But I'll tell you, something happened within Sarah that had never happened before. She finally believed. God had been saying it for a long time, hadn't he? God had been saying it for a long time. And Abraham had tried. He'd used all the means available to him to fulfill what God had promised, but he hadn't really believed God, and neither had Sarah. But one day, the faith of Abraham and Sarah got together, and a child was conceived. Upon what basis? Because God said he would. That's all. Now, it wasn't desire, because if it had been desire, Sarah would have had a son years before. She desired so much that she was even willing to let Abraham go into her handmaid to have a child by her handmaid. That's how desirous she was to have a son. She was so ever so willing. But my friend, her desire was not faith. Not until she believed what God said and said, all right, God, you do it. We can't. And when that happened, they had a child. Well, it goes on and says that by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. And he also, by faith, gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, in all of these instances, without going in each one, they acted not upon some feeling they had, but by faith. God had spoken, and they were sure that it was going to come to pass. And so, Isaac could bless, Jacob could bless, and Joseph could mention the fact that the children of Israel were going to leave that place. And that one day they would be in this land called the Promised Land. He said, and when you go, take my bones with you. Now that wasn't a feeling. That wasn't a desire. That was based upon the solid substance of the Word of God. They believed what God said. And that is what faith was. They believed what God said and they acted accordingly. And the Bible says by faith they did this and this and this. And then it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid. I don't know whether you ever thought about this or not, but Moses was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason in the world they decided to kill all the boy babies was that Satan wanted to get rid of Moses. Did you know that? You know they killed all the babies in Palestine when Jesus was born, trying to get rid of the baby Jesus. And they started killing all the babies just before Moses was born. Did you notice that? Just before he was born. The two or three verses before Moses was born, Pharaoh sent the order. They tried already, but two or three verses before, he said, all right, we've tried everything else, let's start throwing them in the river to the crocodile. But you know what? It wasn't just an accident that his mother and dad, Moses' mother and dad, hid him, because God revealed to them, I believe, this was the deliverance. And by faith. By faith in what? Now, are you trying to tell me this morning, I don't know whether you think this or not, but are you thinking this morning that it was just because his mother and dad loved that little baby and they didn't want to see him die that they hid him? Well, no, all the mothers and daddies love their babies. All the mothers and daddies desired that their babies live. But my friend, they didn't have the word of God to go on. And the mother and dad of Moses said, listen, I don't care what Pharaoh said. God said this is a deliverer, and by faith, we're going to do our part to see that he lives. And they hid him. By faith. Then when Moses got old enough, it says, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. By faith, Moses chose to suffer.
By faith, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. By faith, he forsook Egypt. And by faith, this is something that I haven't figured out yet. Maybe you can. By faith, he didn't fear the wrath of the king. I've always thought about Moses running because he's afraid of the king, but it doesn't say that. It says that he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. The only thing that I can understand by that is that Moses also was very much aware that God had called him to be the deliverer of his people. He said, man, I can't stay around here. He said, because God wants me to deliver his people. Maybe this isn't the right way, but someday he's going to have a way for me to do it, and I've got to be available when he does it. And he left Egypt for that reason, not because he was afraid of the king. Now, that's what it says. It says he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him that's invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, he kept the Passover. You know what? It was his faith that saved the entire nation. You know that? He kept the Passover. My friend, I submit to you this morning that Moses acted in the same place that the Lord Jesus acted that night at the Passover. It was the faith of Moses that caused the children of Israel to kill that lamb and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost. They were baptized into Moses. Moses was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But by faith, Jesus Christ on the cross. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus believed what God said? In the garden he prayed and said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And by that he was saying, Father, I just don't want to go to the cross. I abhor the thing that's coming upon me. And I would, if there would be some way to get around it, I would like to get around it. But I know that there's no other way. And because I believe that by my going to the cross, you're going to redeem man. I'm willing to go. By faith, he went to that lamb and slew it and had the children of Israel sprinkle the blood on the doorpost. But by faith. By faith in what? Again, may I ask you what that faith was based on? It was not based upon some plan that Moses had concocted. It was not based upon some dream that he had. It was based upon the Word of God that clearly spoke detail for detail how to do it. He was not left to his imaginations. He was not left just to some desire. But God specifically said, Moses, do it this way, and this way, and this way. And Moses believed God. And because he believed God, the nation of Israel was spared that night when they were passed over. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Again, Moses didn't say when he got to the Red Sea. I heard this story a long time ago. Maybe you never heard it. Little boy went to Sunday school. His mother and dad were unbelievers, but they did let him go to Sunday school. And they always kind of poo-pooed everything he came home with. And one time they taught him a lesson about Moses crossing the Red Sea. And he came home and his mother said, well, what did they teach you this morning, son? He said, well, says they told us that there was this big bunch of people called Jews that were trying to get out of Egypt. And says they got to a big, big sea and said, you know, they're soldiers were behind them, and there's mountains on each side and the water in front of them, and they didn't know what to do, but it says they got their heads together and they called the engineers in and they planned a big bridge and they built that big bridge and they crossed that thing, and when they got the other side, they blew it up and they got away. Mother said, son, did they teach you that? He says, no, but if what they did teach you wouldn't believe. Said, you'd never believe what they did tell me. By faith. I tell you, Moses didn't have any plan at all. When he got there to that Red Sea, he was just like me and you are many times in our life. Lord, what in the world am I going to do? What in the world am I going to do? And Moses would have never, I don't believe, even though Moses had already seen the miracles that God had performed, I don't believe that Moses ever in 1,000 years would have come up with the idea of parting that Red Sea. I just don't believe he ever would have come up with it. But God said, Moses, that you just raise your staff and see the salvation of God. Hey. And you know what he did? He raised the staff, hey, and God parted the water. And they walked across. But he acted on what God said. He didn't just act upon his desire. Now, he wanted to get away from Pharaoh. You believe that? He sure wanted to get away from Pharaoh. But that wasn't what caused him to raise his rod. He raised his rod because God said, raise your rod. And he did. Well, maybe we can stop. Maybe we ought to go on. I don't know. I sometimes think that we need to just so overemphasize something, just can't forget. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And Willie's already brought that out real clearly. By faith, the walls of Jericho. You'll never forget that, will you?
No way.
If for no other reason than that joke that Willie told. But my friend, I submit again to you, that was the most idiotic strategy that a general ever had. There's never been a more stupid plan of action than for those guys to walk around those walls 7 days, and then on the seventh day walk around 7 times, and then blow the horn. That was just downright stupid. And I'll tell you what, if Lyndall Kincaid comes out with something like that, he says, what we're going to do, we're going to march around Mexico 5 times, and then we're going to blow our horns, and they're all going to get saved. I'll say, Lyndall, you're an idiot. That's right. I won't believe that because God didn't say it. And you know what? There's a lot of people that want us to believe things like that. They'll get up with some crazy concoction, and they'll say, now do you believe it? Well, I have a hard time believing because I can't find God saying it. But I'll tell you, God said for them to do it, and they did it. It looked stupid. It really did. And everybody on the wall thought it was stupid. They began to have picnics, and they were, man, this is great. This is better than a circus. And they were just really having a big time until they blew the horn. And then the party was all over. Oh, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. They thought these idiots down there were just acting in a stupid manner. They didn't realize they were following by faith the walls of Jericho. And then the last one that I'll share with you. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. You know, isn't it amazing that in this list of the heroes of faith, and it even calls her harlot too. You know, he could have left that out, couldn't he? He could have said, by faith, Rahab perished not. I mean, we just don't like to be associated with those kind of people. And here God just inserts her right in there along with Moses and Abraham and all. My, you know why? Because she believed. That's the only reason. You know what God said? God said to the children of Israel, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. He said, all you got to do is just walk in. And you know what she told the spies? Said, I know that your God is the true God. And I know that he's given you this land. Now, how'd she know that? Because God said it. And because she believed what God had said, even though he hadn't said it to her, because she believed what God said, she and all those that were in her house were spared, and they were the only ones. You know, you may be here this morning, you're lost. You better believe what God said. You say, well, he didn't say it to me. He said it. You better believe it, whether he said it to you or not. Rahab believed it, and she spared her life and those that were in her house because she believed what. Now quickly, think back over. Not one of these examples read this morning had faith in anything except. It was not some warm feeling they had. It was not some great ecstatic experience they had. It was not their desire, as great as that desire may have been. It was simply the naked word of God that seemed in some instances to be ridiculous and a far-fetched that they believed, and by doing so, the Bible says they had faith. Now, if we're going to have faith this morning, it has to be. I read a passage of Scripture not long ago that started all of this thing in my heart and my life. Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 6, if you want to turn with me, turn to these two verses. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. And that word careful is also means anxious or worrisome. Don't be worrisome about anything, or don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I may have muddied the water up more than I've cleared it up this morning, but let me say a couple more things. You cannot claim to have faith this morning unless you have some word of God that you're basing. I don't care how bad you want it and how right it may seem. If you can't find that God said it, then you can't have faith. You can have desire, but you can't have faith. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to find it written in the word of God, because God does speak to it. The word is not just a written word, it's a living word this morning. Jesus Christ is the word of God. Jesus Christ is a living word of God. And so Jesus today is still translating God's will in our life. But you have to be careful here. You have to be so careful here. Because it's so easy to mix up our desire with God's. You want a new car. Now maybe you need a new car, and maybe you don't. You better be sure before you pray, you know, quotation marks, by faith, for a new car. You better be careful. Now God can reveal to you. God can speak to your heart and say, I'm going to give you a car. You need a car. You may need a wife. You can pray, and if God reveals to you you're going to have a wife, you can pray by faith to receive that wife. There's 1,000 other things that you and I can pray for by faith, but we better be careful that God has spoken to our hearts and confirmed this to us before we call it faith. Now, Paul, I believe here, is saying that there's prayer, there's supplication, and then there's request. Prayer, and this is my own idea. You don't have to accept it, but it's helped me immensely. Prayer is when we exercise faith. The Bible says that whatever we ask by faith, believing, we'll receive. You believe that? You believe that, Virgin? Whatever we ask by faith, that we're going to receive. I talked to a brother not long ago, and he believes this, and he preaches it, and he stands for it, but it doesn't always happen. So I asked him one day, I said, brother, I said, how come always when you pray, according to your method of praying, it doesn't happen? He said, well, sometimes God says no.
I said, friend, I don't understand that. I can't put those two things in the same equation. That if we ask anything by faith, that we will receive it, and yet God sometimes says no. They don't go together. If I tell my son, if you ask for anything, I'll give it to you, and he comes and asks me for it, and I say no, he said, Daddy, you're lying. And rightly so. Now you hear me this morning. He said if we ask anything by faith, believing, that then we shall. And what are we still supposed to ask for? Only what He's revealed already. Only what we can see in His Word or what is revealed to us by the living Word. And only then can we have faith. Other than that is desire. And God didn't say whatever you desire, you're going to get. We've desired an awful lot of things that we can never receive. He didn't even say whatever you ask for. If you ask for it in His name. And that's the same principle. If you ask for it in His name, it's according to His Word. It's not just because you want it and then close it with those little magical phrases, abracadabra, you know. Jesus' name is not some open sesame to the treasures of God. My friend, the name of Jesus means simply that it's for Him that you're asking. And you better go to Him and ask Him first if that's what He wants. But I believe that Paul's saying that there is prayer by faith, and there's supplication, and then there's request. And then I'd just like to mention a couple of those things. I'll not even turn to the scripture to read it. You know them. Paul, when he was given a vision by God of the paradise, says just right after that, that lest I should glory. You know, God always makes sure that we don't get too high, doesn't he, Lindo? Just about the time our balloon's ready to bust, he just let some of the air out of it. Never get so big that it bursts. So he says, lest I should glory. God sent to me a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. And listen to what Paul said. He said, I besought the Lord 3 for him to remove that thorn. And you know what his answer was? It wasn't wait. It was no. He said no. Now, did Paul, a man of faith, pray a prayer of faith and get God's answer of no? Don't think so. I think that Paul, just like me and you, was confused. Here's this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan. He was clear what it was. Lord, I don't understand. What is this affliction? What's the purpose of it? Lord, I want you to get rid of this thing. I can't serve you like I want to serve you because of this thing. And 3 times he asked the Lord to get rid of it. But he didn't know what God's mind was. And finally God said, oh, Paul, don't you realize what this is for? This is for your own good. Because you see, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. If you were strong, Paul, you wouldn't need me. But you know what Paul did? He said, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He said, therefore I will glory in mine infirmity. He didn't pout. He didn't feel disappointed because he hadn't prayed by faith. He was simply making a request to God. He said, Lord, I don't know what your mind is, but I want to tell you what I want. I want to tell you how I feel. I'd like to get rid of this thing. God said, no, Paul, that's for your good. And what did he say again? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You can thank the Lord even before He answers, because whatever He says, when you're making a request, you're going to say, thank you, Lord. Isn't that right? If He says no, hallelujah, that was best. All things work together for good. Amen. So therefore, when I make a request to God, I am as ready for no as I am for yes. But my friend, when I ask God by faith for something, I expect yes as an answer, because He's promised. We can be sure that when we ask by faith, He's going to do it. There was no question in Moses' mind when he stood there at the Red Sea, whether that Red Sea was going to open up or not. There was no question in Moses' mind when he struck the rod, whether the water would come out or not. But my friend, only because God had told him already. We can pray in faith that way. And that's the kind of faith that we're talking about. In one other instance, when he was talking about his friend who had been sick, Epaphroditus. He was sick, nigh unto death. Now, Paul was a man that had prayed for the sick. He had raised the dead. Did Paul have faith? I tell you, Paul had faith. If anybody ever had faith, well, why didn't he raise old Epaphroditus from the bed of sin? Why didn't he just, you know, take one of his handkerchiefs, like it says, and lay across him and heal him? Why didn't he just touch his head and raise his hand and pray and heal him? My friend, because he didn't know what God's will was for Epaphroditus. And so he says, God had mercy on me. I besought God. I asked God. I told God what I wanted, and He had mercy. Raised him. You know, friends, my conviction is this, that most of our prayer life is in the realm of request, not in the realm of really believe that. Now, I don't mean that it's bad. I think it's good because God told us to make our requests known to Him. But friends, we ought not to put it in the same category as the prayer of faith, looking for an answer and expecting an answer and then being disappointed when it doesn't happen like we asked. Because I don't have any right to ask God to do something and expect a yes answer. He's already told me that. You see, faith is based upon God. Only as we believe God can have faith. If God didn't say it, then I can't be expected to believe. I don't care how bad you want it. I don't care how bad I want it. I don't care how reasonable and right it might sound. I cannot exercise faith, at least my understanding of faith,